Welcome to a Saturday night. I am Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind, and for the next 3 hours, we want to try to expand yours just a little bit. Introduce you to some new thoughts and some new ideas, things that we just throw on the table, things you may never have heard about before. And here we sit in the same situation that we sat in last Saturday night, but I think it will be a different outcome tonight. Last week, our scheduled guest was Dr. Peter Guy Manners from England. It's hard to get here from England, and he arrived somewhere in the middle of the show at LAX and could not get here, and is to be here tonight and talk to his people today, so I'm confident he will make it. But he hasn't made it as yet, but that's all right. That gives you and I a chance to do a lot of talking about a lot of things, and we will, until Peter gets here, open up the microphones to talk to you about anything that may be on your mind in that broad area that we talk about on the Open Mind program. Let me give you some numbers if you want to talk in, and we'll just have an open forum for a while. And by the way, I love the open forums. I get an idea of what you're thinking about, what you want to know about, and we can rehash a lot of issues and perhaps toss some new ones around. I'll try my best. If you're in Los Angeles, your number is 520-TALK, T-A-L-K, or 8255, if you want to look at it that way. And all of our numbers end in 8255, or TALK. Out in the San Fernando Valley, and that includes the Simi Valley, Santa Monica, West Los Angeles, your number, these are toll-free numbers, you can call it 990-TALK. If you're in Pasadena, Glendale, or Burbank, your number is 244-TALK. In the San Gabriel Valley, and that includes everything from Whittier to Rosemead to Monterey Park to Montebello, El Monte, Alhambra, call us at 448-TALK. And if you're down in the South Bay area, Torrance, Rolling Hills, Redondo Beach, Palos Verdes, Lawndale, Hawthorne, you know, El Segundo, where you are, your number is 679-TALK. And in Compton, that includes Long Beach, San Pedro, Paramount, Linwood, Downey, call us at 639-TALK. And for our friends down in Orange County, if you're in the 714 or the 619 area code, your toll-free number is 750-TALK. And some of you are in the 818 area code over there. It's funny what this phone company has done with the 818 thing, isn't it? Your number is 448, which is the same as the San Gabriel Valley. And I would like very much to hear from you. And until Dr. Peter Guy Manners gets here and we'll talk about the amazing healing effects of light and color and sound with Peter, who is in the vanguard of this sort of thing, and his techniques are being used all over the world, and even, would you believe, here in the United States. We'll just open it up to you, and we'll talk about any and everything that might be on your mind. And we have touched on a lot of things. I might remind you that we have a date for you, May the 12th. On May the 12th, you and I, all of you that want to go, are going to take advantage of the KABC Travel Club and go to London, you and I are. And this will be a very inexpensive way for you to go to London. And while we're over in London, we're going to have a grand time. We're going to visit a number of the so-called haunted houses. We will talk to some of the marvelous mediums in England. We will visit the House of Lords in Parliament and be briefed on Parliament's investigation of the UFO phenomenon. We may go up to Stonehenge. In fact, we're trying to work that out. All of the details of it are yet to be worked out by Chucky Travel, or Chuck Caramelli, who is in charge of the KABC Travel Club. And if you would like to go with us to London, we'll make it as inexpensive as possible. There is a marvelous hotel that we're going to stay in. It's kind of old, and it's kind of Victorian, and it's kind of fun, right in the heart of London. I would like for you to write me. Give me your name and address. And just simply say you'd like to go, and then the travel club will contact you and give you all the details. We may have an opportunity to spend some time with the great medium, Frieda Fell, and to spend some time with Rosemary Brown, you know who Rosemary is, the lady who is in contact with the ancient masters and is writing magnificent music. We'll try to make it as exciting a trip as possible, It'll be just for a week, and I think it'll be a great week that we'll all have fun together. So we'll all go over there together. If you want to go, write me. Give us your name and address, telephone number, how we can contact you, and then get all the details and what it would cost and all of that sort of thing on to you. Meanwhile, let's go on to our callers. I think we have Patrick on the line. Hello, Patrick.
What's Hello, Bill. Name? How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I listen to your show all the time, and I like it a lot.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
I got a question about Larry Fawcett on UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last time he was on, he had mentioned that Cable News Network was going to do a program on it, and that showed this afternoon. And I was wondering if you had seen it. What
I didn't see the show. Actually, that was a repeat this afternoon. It showed last week at some times. This was about the incident in England, Russell.
Brentwater, right.
American Brentwater, right.
I was just wondering if you'd seen it and what your reaction was.
No, I hadn't seen it. I have, I'm deeply briefed on that particular situation. I'm more interested in what your reaction was.
Oh, I find it fascinating. It just backs up everything that Clear Intent said and everything that Larry says on your show, and it gives it a little bit more credibility to the so-called, rest of the public out there.
What kind of footage did they have on the show? Did they have any footage of the...
They had no footage as far as I saw. I caught it halfway, but they had the audio tape along with some sketches and some interviews, which were pretty conclusive as far as the sources, if the sources are who they say they are.
Well, the sources are very accurate as far as I can understand.
Yeah, I agree.
And I certainly want to tip my hat to CNN, who has... in terms of what we would call our major network media, gone out on the limb a little bit to deal with a story that maybe, it's not fighting in the Middle East or the economics, but the validity of the story is there.
Right.
The documentation is there. In fact, a lot of the documentation that Larry talked about that has come out of the Freedom of Information Act is there, and I'm sure that they presented a part of it. And it is a fact of the matter that this particular incident of an ongoing contact at an American base next to an RAF base in England has been documented, is going on, and I'm delighted that CNN did it.
The thing that fascinates me most of everything, along with what you just said, is the fact that after reading Clear Intent, his book, whether there is alien beings in the UFOs or not, whatever they may be, the fact that the government is trying so hard to cover something up is interesting in itself.
Well, the story of the government cover-up of the UFO phenomenon is now legion. It's it's incredible that it goes on.
Do you know if Larry will be on soon?
We certainly will try to have Larry back on again. We're scheduled sometime into May. Maybe in May we will get him back on again because there are a number of updates. I'll be having some meetings with him and with Dr. J. Allen Hynek here in the next few months, or next few weeks.
Did you happen to read the article in Omni with him?
Yes.
Neat article.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
And, what's, Patrick, what's interesting to me is that we are seeing now more and more major media get involved into this particular fray. Because there is a cover-up, there's no doubt about it. The government is admitting it. They're opening up some of the material. They want to let media help them get out of a jam, as it were.
Right.
The people that are involved in government right now were not the ones that were involved in government, let's say, when this whole thing started. And when the cover-up started, which was back during the Truman administration, perhaps there was very good reason for it, and it just became sort of a thing to do if you were involved in that area of government. So... I think with tenderness and gentleness, we'll try to extricate him from that great problem, because what has been hidden from the American people is the fact that there are alien beings in Earth space, and they do not all wear white hats.
Again, I enjoy your show tremendously.
All right, Patrick.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for bringing the CNN report, and our congratulations to CNN for doing it.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Todd, you're on. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Bill?
All right.
I have a question about Bill Burns. That's his name, right?
Bill Burns was a guest on this show while I was in Fiji, and he was a guest of Lee Marshall.
Right.
And I understand Lee did a very fine job, and again, I want to thank Lee for doing that.
I spoke to him when he was on there with Lee, and I got the impression he was foreseeing the future for other people, that what he saw wasn't exactly concrete, that some of the future is under... people's control. Like one woman said, I want to lose weight. Am I going to? And he said, well, I can recommend you for a nutritionist and so forth. He gave me some advice, but I get the impression that it's more like I have to do the doing. It's not just going to fall in my lap. You know what I mean?
Yes, I understand what you mean, and I have to agree with Bill Burns in a great way. Whenever you have Bill, for those who don't know, is a psychic and has this marvelous psychic ability to look into the future. But really, when psychics look into the future, I think they look more at probabilities than they do in sort of a predestinative thing. You know, if they can look down the road 5 years from now and say that you're going to be at position X in life, then no matter what you did, you would be in position X in life is a little bit unrealistic, and most psychics will tell you that that's not the case. And what they're looking at is the way things are going now. And they can be very accurate about that if you don't change your ways, whether you want to or not. If what you're looking at, say, 5 years from now is not where you want to be, we still are creatures that have free will and can exercise free energy and can indeed change those things. For instance, if with great accuracy a psychic were to tell you if you were traveling down this road and you were going to go off the edge of the road 2 miles down at this certain curve, and you knew and you had that vision from a psychic or even from your own perceptive ability, if you exercised great care when you got to that curve, you just may not go off it. But if you didn't, and with utilizing the reflexes that you're ordinarily using, you might well go over it. So that's one of the things to keep in mind. And I think that probably, not having heard what Bill had to say on the show, and he's never been a guest of mine, but he's certainly a fine man in his field. In a very simplistic way, I think I'm explaining what he said to you.
Right. What I had to look forward to is, he said about 18 months down the road. However, for those that are interested, he mentioned my wife had a problem at work that was going to be over by the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of days later, she came home and said that her problem was being transferred at March 1st. So.
How about that?
Yeah, that's what I said. So I guess he's on the money. Okay. You
know, guys like Bill Burns have established themselves as being extremely accurate, extremely perceptive. You need to, my personal opinion is, pay attention to what they have to say. You certainly don't run your life by this information, but it's another tool for you to help shape your own life. And that's the basic function, I think, of this psychic input that not only Bill has, that he can convey to you, but you yourself have if you learn how to use it.
I'm trying. I just, like to tell you, I appreciate your show. You do a good job, and we listen every Saturday night.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Todd.
I hope you have better luck keeping the guests on.
We're sweating it out again, but that's all right. I've talked to his people today, and I'm confident he will be here, and it'll be quite exciting when he does.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind, and we'll be here till midnight tonight. Be back in a moment. Well, then. Last week he did not make it, but it was not his fault. It was a lack of communication between him and me, because he arrived sometime during the time the show was on. There was no way he can get here. But he is going to make every effort to get here tonight. But while he is in the United States, his schedule is very, very tight, and I'm very, very anxious for you to talk to him. Meanwhile, I'm talking to you about anything that may be on your mind that is a part of this rather broad New Age concept of things that we call the Open Mind Show. And we have, is that Nysene? Is that your name? Hello?
Hello, Nesbitt?
Nesbitt?
Yeah, Nesbitt.
Oh, Nesbitt. Hello, Nesbitt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not wearing my glasses, so I didn't see that real good.
Okay, listen, first of all, let me just say how much I thoroughly enjoy your show every week. I stay home every Saturday night and listen.
Oh, I hope it's not... I hope you're not missing something, do you?
No. I don't think I'm missing anything at all.
Well, thank you. How nice.
I'm struggling with a question, Bill. I hope you can help me.
I'll try.
If a person is being contacted on the other side and they become reincarnated, you know, come back into this reality, what happens to the contact? What happens to contacting that person? I mean, are they being able to be contacted again, or what happens? There's no more contact with that person, you know, like say from the same medium, or What would happen in that case?
Well, let me phrase this in a way where I think what you're saying. I suspect that you have, through a medium or some other source, been in contact with someone on the other side, isn't
it? Yes.
And you feel now that that person is reincarnated back into life.
Yes.
My understanding of it, and certainly I'm certainly no expert on this, is that that consciousness that was involved with the person on the other side is now totally involved with the reincarnated person. And your contact with him is going to be pretty well limited on the physical plane. There are some studies, particularly from the out-of-body travelers, that indicate that the consciousness that controls you and I actually can live in three or four different situations at the same time. And so I wouldn't preclude trying to make a contact with that consciousness, even though right now it may be a small child, which in physical life, but that consciousness may also be existing in another plane. I'm just not that fully familiar with it all. It is a very bewildering set of facts that we have to deal with, those that get into this. But there is some evidence from the out-of-body travelers and from some of the mediums and some of the other things that we can look at that have some sort of validity to them to say that the consciousness is not totally involved with just the physical life. In my mind, because I just haven't traveled that far myself, I would feel that the consciousness is involved with the physical life, but there is some that feel that that's not quite so.
There is a possibility of one's consciousness existing in other realities, and that's sort of like what I suspected.
Well, it's an incredible world out there that we are just now beginning to sort of scratch the surface on for a lot of reasons. And who knows what we're scratching.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right. Thank you very much, Nettie. Appreciate the call, and I don't know how helpful it was, but we'll try. Lucille, you're on. Let me punch you up. Lucille, are you there? Whoop. Seven? Hello? Who do we have there? They've got all of these buttons for me to push, and I'm not pushing the right one. We'll try this one again. Hello. Boris.
Boris, yes.
Oh, okay. You came up on the computer real fast there.
Can you hear me all right?
I hear you fine. I'm glad you can hear me. I thought I was in limbo for a second.
Oh. Well, when Dr. Peebles was on, I got the impression that he thought the soul entered the fetus at the time of conception, and the information that I have been familiar with says that the soul enters either in the last month of pregnancy or at birth.
Where did you get that information?
Oh, I picked it up variously from reading over a long period, and I don't have it right in front of me where it came from. I thought this was critical in terms of the abortion decision. In other words, if the soul is put in right back at the beginning, then you're dumping somebody if you abort. And on the other hand, if the soul enters... Well, let me tell you a story I remember now that it's coming to mind. There was a ghost that appeared at the end of somebody's pregnancy announcing that she was the intended, and they came acquainted with the mother. And then when the child came, the child resembled the ghost. And I thought that...
Where did you get this information?
Well, I'm afraid I've forgotten where I got it from. I've been reading this stuff for 20 years, you know. And if this were the case, then, that they were coming in lately, all I'm suggesting is that the people are getting too worked up about the abortion decision on that. In other words, there's many opportunities to get in.
Well, I don't want to confuse some thinking and some ancient teaching, and perhaps and some modern teaching too as well, with the legal and political things that are going on concerning abortion right now. I really don't want to confuse those. But let me ask you a question. When the sperm and the egg come together, and this marvelous process begins of the formation of a human being, rather than a leaf, let's say, inside the womb of the mother, where is the intelligence that is forming that human being coming from?
Well, I think they are between incarnations. Now, this I got from the many books I've read by people who do hypnotic regression.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up with the figure, well, in one case, of about 80 years as being a typical period between incarnations. Then the time is announced that it is time to go down, and now they go down through the tunnel, the reverse of the process, which is described by the death experience where they revive after having been dead for a few minutes. Now, that process is reversed. They get the buzzing noise. They go down the tunnel, and then they find they're in the birth canal. And
they found a little body already ready for them, in other words, inside the womb of the mother. Now, where did the intelligence come from that created the body?
Well, this, of course, we don't know. Now, some people say, well, it's in a different state of existence, but the lore of ghosts would suggest that such people can exist in our plane. In other words, the ghost hunters say, well, we've seen them.
Mm.
Or they say, we've got photographs of them, and in my family they have been seen.
Well, let me tell you just the things that have discussed on the show. I'm certainly not giving you my feeling one way or the other, but just the things that have come out from the talkings with Dr. Peoples and from the out-of-body travelers and those people that have a unique insight to this sort of thing. And we will cast aside for a moment with the political considerations and the legal considerations that it takes an enormous amount of intelligence beyond the capability of the human community to change the union of a sperm and an egg into a living human being. This generally is attributed to what we would call spiritual intelligence. And when spiritual intelligence takes over that and starts utilizing an intelligence that is a master biochemist, a master electrician, a master of things far beyond what we can do in our highest citadels of learning, intelligence is involved, and it is not the intelligence of the mother. The mother is providing only a safe place and the basic raw materials in order to get that job done. So there is spiritual intelligence there at that moment on. Now, whether, you know, how that conflicts with whatever the legal ramifications of that are is inconsequential in this discussion. But it doesn't just happen by itself. Intelligence has to be at work there. And you can take it from that point on. And that's all I can really tell you about that, Boris.
Well, that's all I wanted really to do is to put a little input into that, because there are so very many sources of this kind of information. There are so many people working on it.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a marvelous job of finding people we've never heard of. And there are many, many more, and so I wish you all success in getting more of them together.
Okay, Boris, thank you very much for your call.
Okay.
All right, appreciate you getting in here. And I'm very happy to announce that Dr. Manners is here. And welcome aboard, Peter. Good to see you back on our microphones here.
Thank you very much indeed. It's nice to be back here.
We've had some trouble, but Los Angeles traffic is a lot of fun. Isn't it all? So for the next 2.5 hours, we have Dr. Peter Guy Manners with you for an encore appearance here on the Open Mind Show. Your last appearance, Peter, was electrifying.
Well, thank you very much.
We found out that there is another way to take care of the human body other than inject it with chemicals.
That's correct.
And cut it open and do all of that sort of thing.
Sure.
You're really in the forefront of this, and I'm looking forward to you explaining us the things that you have been doing and what has been accomplished, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. And important to you, at least it's something to listen to. Are there changes in the nature of the human being, Peter, that cause us to respond differently than we did a few years ago to things that are ailing us?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think since we were here speaking to you last, we've come a long way along the road. We've found a lot more things out concerning somatic therapy, which we're basically engaged in. We've found a lot more developments are in it, that it does much more than we originally thought it did. There was also a lot of things which we didn't think it was doing, and we now we found that it is.
What is somatic therapy?
What is somatic therapy? Basically, it's an alternative to drug therapy. I can say this in all sincerity, being an MD myself. For far too long, the medical profession has been engaged in sort of waging a battle with inside the human body by the induction of drugs. And we think it's about time we found some other way, some other method. And cymetics is another way, another method. It's much more normal, it's much more natural. There are no side effects, no contraindications. And it's something which I think within another year or two will be vastly important all over the world.
Just what does cymetics do then if we have something is ailing us? Let's say something catastrophic. Let's say cancer. Just to pick something out of the air.
Well, don't take the serious one first. Take some of the easier ones first.
All right, we'll go to the common cold.
Let's gradually lead up to the other. Let me try to explain first. If there is something ailing you, well, let's start with your first statement first. If there's something ailing you, then there is something wrong with the harmonic consistency within the body itself. We've been lecturing over here in this country for the past 10 years on this basic concept and saying that the whole of the human body is a harmonic console. In other words, it's producing sounds. The muscles and the heart and the lungs and the liver, etc., produce a harmonic sound. Well, no one's taken a great deal of notice of that until suddenly, it was, I think it's about a year ago now, and two of your doctors over here discovered that we were right. And absolutely amazing. I was absolutely thrilled about the whole thing.
They admitted that it wasn't admitted in the USA.
That's right. And the muscles actually make sounds. And they published it in one of your medical journals over here. So now we're not talking rubbish anymore, you see. We're talking really something that has been achieved now.
Now, muscles make sounds.
Muscles make sounds.
I knew my joints make sounds. I hear those quite often. But I didn't know my muscles did.
Oh, yes. And this is why when you say when something ails you, what actually happens is that the frequency within whatever area of the body is ailing has changed. But the frequency pattern has altered. And the whole point of cymetics is to correct that frequency pattern. Previously, we've done it with drugs. But by doing it by drugs is basically a very roundabout way. Now, we found a much more effective way by using sound actually injected into the structure and to the system. Now, when we first started doing this, we thought that this was the be and end of all of it. I mean, that we could rectify and change the frequency and structures, and that was it. Well, since then, as I say, we've come a long way, and we found that it's doing much more than that. By injecting sound into the human anatomy and the structure, we can change its chemical values. We can activate the hormone deficiency, either up or down. There's all sorts of things that can be actually done and achieved.
Well, are you saying in a way that when, say, the muscle tissue or the organs or whatever are in a perfectly healthy state, they are at a certain frequency?
That's correct.
And if something comes along, whatever it may be, that is interfering with that and makes them go off kilter,
yes,
they start responding at a different frequency.
That's right. The frequency will change.
The frequency will change, yes. And you are able now to overcome that frequency and get it back to normal.
That's correct. Yes.
With sound.
That's right. It's just as simple as that.
Or sound is a form of vibration. What about light?
Light is an extension, obviously, of sound.
Obviously.
This is why, again, in the earlier days, we used to call it light therapy or color therapy. Well, it's no longer called that now. It's now called chromatology.
Well, naturally, we always put a nice bureaucratic
name on it. Oh, yes, you've got to put a very fancy word on it, because it sounds better anyway.
It does.
But you see, the point is that light is an extension of sound. If you take sound and you have a basic frequencies, you can produce a sound by it. But if you increase the amount of cycles per second of each frequency and lift it higher, instead of, we say, having 1,000 or 2,000 cycles per second, you've got hundreds of thousands of cycles per second, then you move it from the range of hearing and move it into the range of light. In other words, you begin to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You cease to hear it and you begin to see it. So therefore, the two are connected and the two therapies are interrelated and connected.
But nevertheless, you are forcing a new vibration upon the ailing vibration. And whether it is in the sound spectrum or the light spectrum, you're getting it back to normal.
No. Let me correct you, if I may, on the first thing. We're not correcting an alien frequency in. We're putting in the corrected frequency. The alien frequency is already in there.
Well, that's what I mean. From the normal to the to the ill,
that's
and now you're just getting it back into place.
That's right, and get to bring it back into balance, yes. That's correct.
Now, by using sound, then, you're able then to overcome the wrong frequency that developed the cause of the illness or whatever it is.
That's right.
Overpower it, is it?
Yes.
Say.
Yes.
And get it back to normal. Now, does that ensure good health?
Yes. If everything is, working at its normal frequencies, and its correct frequencies, then you're harmonic, you're in good health. But if it goes out, then there's a disharmony or a disharmonic, and you're in dis-ease. Hence the word.
Well, that's what disease is.
That's what disease is, yes.
Disease, isn't it?
That's right.
So by electronically forcing it back into position, you just have to then be in ease again.
That's right.
How successful have you been with this idea?
We've been using this in our clinic now for the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have case histories going back over 20 years of all varying sort of conditions. For the first 8 years, we literally lock the research field down into treating muscular diseases, bone diseases, and all the things which were simple within that to amass enough evidence that it was actually working. But now, of course, I mean, it's used in all sorts of complaints and diseases now.
Well, I think one of the bellwethers, I think, for advanced thinking, particularly in the medical world, is to get it past the American Medical Association. Because we're talking about some stodgy folks who like to give pills for the most part. How well are you doing with those minds?
Well, if I can answer the first question first. I think your powers that be, government, whatever they are very much overprotective of the population of the United States.
That's a kind way to put it, Peter.
Well, I've got to put it kind. I mean, I'm a visitor into the country. I've got to put it kindly. I mean, they fuss about literally like an old hen over all you people over here. And by so doing...
That's not all bad, by the way. Their skepticism
The concept, the idea behind it is very, very good. They're trying to look after your welfare. But in so doing, they're like an overprotective mother looking after her child. But the child doesn't get any experience at all and loses an awful lot by it.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, the Americans are losing an awful lot by it because they're blocking things out which really must come in. They'll come in eventually, so they might just well open up and let them come in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll come in.
They're going to come in the back door anyway.
They'll come in any door. I mean, they come in the window over the wall. I mean, anyway, but they get in here.
Right.
I mean, if a thing works, you can't stop it. You can't halt progress. You can't strangle it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this is medical science. And you can't stop medical science. I mean, if it's working and it's progressing and it does what it's supposed to do and what it's tested, we've written papers on it, we've done all these kind of things on it, and still they try to block it out. You see, everything that comes out, it doesn't matter what it is, I mean, is new to begin with, and it's got to start somewhere, somehow.
That's
so
right.
It's ridiculous to say, well, I mean, what experiences have been behind it? We've had 20 years experience behind this. I mean, it's not something new. This sort of just jumped out of the frying pan. It's something that's had thorough and very severe testing.
Well, when the authorities look at your database, as it were, you've got decades of case histories where this science has been applied and you have had these kind of results with it. You can take the same kind of cases then where they have treated it with chemicals. How does it stack up to the chemical treatment, the pill treatment, or the cutting treatment?
Far better. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You see, there are no side effects from this. You see, if you administer drugs However careful you may be, you're bound to have side effects from it because it's something which is contrary to the system and to the body in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the body has to rid itself of it. And therefore, you set up a battleground literally within the system, within the structure. But, I mean, if you're using which is something which is complementary, something which the body can use, which the body has basically in it when it's in a good state of health, if you've got the, if you're using something of that, then you're on a different bat altogether.
Well, I know I started talking there and probably stopped you from answering a question of how is this data and how is this research and the wealth of information that you've generated over all of these years being received by the, quote, powers that be in the American medical community, which not only involves the doctors themselves and their associations, but, of course, the marvelous bureaucracies in Washington.
Well, when we say the powers that be, individually, doctors, I mean, have no objection from it person to person. I mean, if you show them something and you can prove something, well, then they're interested. But I think the biggest opposition to this is not the powers that be as such, but the vested interest of drug houses. This is where your biggest problem comes in.
Well, that's true, because
if we can offset the use and indiscriminate use of highly expensive drugs by a simple and easy method, I mean, the drug houses are not going to like it at all.
Well, that's true. The people at Upjohn and Pfizer and the rest of them are not going to look upon you with great favor.
No, they're certainly not.
That's a very sad commentary on our time.
Yes.
But it is a part of the ethic of the world, I suppose. But certainly it has been elevated to a a fine art here in America.
Well, it certainly has. And, of course, the whole point is that, I mean, there should not be the amount of money involved in drugs that there are. I mean, the vast and terrific profits that they make out of it is almost staggering if you knew the basic truth behind this. I mean, most of these drugs could be produced at a fraction of what they cost,
mm-hmm,
or what they're charging for them. But the point is, if we can perfect an entirely different concept or a different way, they're certainly not going to like that, and they're going to fight very hard to oppose it. And what they do at the present moment is using, as we say, the powers that be, as an instrument to try to destroy it and to try to block these things.
So it gets back to the old buck, doesn't it? And our old body who cares?
That's right.
As long as we will spend a bunch of bucks on it.
That's right.
Our intent is to keep it healthy so we can carve out for ourselves the great life that we should have. There are others that want to get sick so they can sell us a bunch of chemicals. And if somebody comes along a way to cure the ailments that we may have without using chemicals, then they get very upset because they like the dollar more than the body.
That's right. That's right.
Sad, isn't it?
It is.
It's true all over the world, unfortunately.
Oh, yes, it's true everywhere. But our driver coming along this evening said, well, is the concept to this more advanced in the United Kingdom than it is in the United States? The answer to that is, yes, it is, but not because we say we've got more brains over there than you've got over here, because that isn't true. But the point is because we have got open mind in the United Kingdom. And over here, at the present moment, in lots of these respects, we've got a closed mind, so we've got to open it up.
Well, I like your terminology there. I certainly do. We're speaking to Dr. Peter Guy Manners from England, who is perhaps in the eyes of those who are involved in providing the medical community with chemicals, a maverick of sorts, who... why did he come to the United States? But he has come to the United States, and this is his second trip to Open Mind. And we want to talk to him a little bit more and give you an opportunity to talk to him, too. Because there is a wealth of data, there's a wealth of information that could be very, very beneficial to you. And we'll find out just how far we are coming in the United States toward giving you an alternative to chemicals and the knife here tonight with Dr. Manners. If you'd like to talk to him, let me give you the numbers. In Los Angeles, 520-TALK, T-A-L-K. All of our numbers end in talk, and that's with me, Dr. Peter Guy Manners. Dr. Manners, certainly in the forefront, the vanguard of a whole new way of taking care of yourself, a way that is natural, a way that uses primarily sound, light, color, and sound, light, and color, according to his research, for the last many years, many decades, has proven to be more and more effective than chemicals. Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do without all of the pills? Do you realize how that will change and alter our way of life, Peter? What are you doing to us? We don't have the little pills to take when we get sick. What could one do if they don't want to take any chemicals here in the United States right now? They've got something the matter with them. Is the American medical community getting into this? Are they recognizing it? Are they looking at the data, realizing it, and utilizing it?
Well, I think to answer that first and constructively, you told me I hadn't got to be shy, so I'm not going to be shy on this program. Right. Then I think one of the first things you've got to study is a bill which is scheduled to go through Congress on its next session, Bill number 6050. Without much public awareness or public voice, this bill may very well become law. And the bill is being perfected by a Florida representative, Claude Pepper, and is backed by the American Medical Association. Now, if this bill goes through, it's not receiving a great deal of publicity, but if this bill goes through, it will give the allow the AMA and its affiliated organizations and country medical societies to adjudicate acceptable standards of medical practice and medical treatment. Any diagnosis or therapy lying outside these standards can be prohibited then by law. And the second part of the bill authorizes a blanket education of the public to the findings and opinions of the AMA, vitamins, minerals, and most nutritional substances may be restricted to prescription only by physicians. Health food stores will be prohibited from most types of product sales. In other words, they're going to have more and more jurisdiction over your illness and your sickness. After all, I mean, if you're sick, it's your problem. Not the government's problem, really. It's really your problem. And you should have the free choice. And we always look to America as being the bastion of freedom, of human rights, and the person's right to be able to choose what type of treatment they require, what type of treatment they want to have. And, I mean, if these kind of bills go through, I mean, you're going to lose that right.
Well, it sounds to me like they're trying to figure out a way to tax sickness now. You know, if we can get the government in control with it, they'll want to tax it also. Get sick and get taxed.
Yes, they will.
So Claude Pepper is behind this.
Yeah.
That seems to be an unusual move for Claude Pepper, to put the doctors in charge of everything.
I think it would be a good idea if you brought him to the other side of this table and ask him some questions.
Well, Claude has been here quite often at this very table that we're sitting at, and I am a bit surprised at that. Now, you know, on the surface of it, you would not mind a cadre of your finest minds in the medical profession to have the say-so about what is right and what is wrong in medical treatment. They certainly would make more sense, you would think, than politicians, or certainly me.
True.
Or someone else who is uneducated. Very few, however, of our politicians are doctors.
Uh-huh.
What we see here now is an insertion now of political clout and the great lobbying effect and the great influence that the purveyors of chemicals have over the medical profession itself.
Yes.
Because,
yes,
as do the chemical companies make a great deal of money, so, indeed, do the doctors. So are we really serving the public with this kind of an idea, which shows itself on the surface to probably be a good one, but it's not necessarily. Well, there's our music, which means that we'll be right back right after the news with what's turning out to be a rather stimulating conversation. We'd like to have your thoughts about Claude Pepper's bill, the role of the AMA, and your role in being in charge of your own destiny as far as medical care is concerned. For there is new science involved, and it's a part of the new age. I'll be right back. Sort of wetting our whistle a little bit about the way this evening is going to go. We're talking about the status quo, in a way, I guess we could say, Peter. The way things are now, as if they were embedded in concrete. That the creator of the universe has given our society all the information there is about everything, particularly medicine. But the things we're dealing about tonight has to do with the healing of the human body. But the concepts we're dealing with extend to almost all areas of advanced new thinking, whether it is in the world of science or politics or sociology or whatever. Certainly medicine has its problems there, too. Dr. Manners is a man who represents himself to be, and he has decades of research and data behind him, that there is a better way than what we are seeing here in the United States in taking care of the human body. Are you having a great deal of problems now, Peter, in bringing that to the attention of the medical community at large? Not talking about its official functions, necessarily, the AMA or the bureaucracy, but the doctors and the people themselves, the patients, the people who...
No, not anymore. Well, in the early days of this field of research, yes, it was. It was very difficult. You had to be very brave to stand up on a platform and say some of the things which you can discuss quite openly now. Because it was rejected. The first thing he would say is, well, can you prove this scientifically? Well, of course, that sort of remark is never made in any meeting now, however highly intellectual the audience may be, because there's a very good answer for that. Well, how far does your knowledge and experience in science go? Because if you're bogged down in materialism, then it's useless talking to you. But if your concept of science reaches out now into the, what you say, the fourth dimension and the way where medicine is going and science is going, all right, then we can discuss it. But concept a few years ago, but I mean, it isn't that anymore. I mean, things that were science fiction a little while back, and they're becoming an established fact. I mean, we can realize that many of the things which wrote up in, or as I would say, our science comics, are now established facts. We can actually do these things now. There's no problem attached to it. So therefore, the way of putting this across now from the platform to the orthodox profession, either in medicine, science, or physics, or physicists, or whatever they may be, is no longer a difficult thing.
Well, for those that just joined us, I want to touch again upon something that I personally view as quite interesting, if not actually frightening. And that is a bill that's before the House, or for the Senate, I guess. Claude Pepper is behind it. Do you want to touch on that bill again? And let's look at its ramifications of what it's actually saying.
Well, you're getting this problem now. We had it, I think, about a year ago in the United Kingdom. There, they attempted to put through a bill which would have blocked the sale of, shall we say, naturopathic medicines and naturopathic concepts without the consult of the British Medical Association. And, of course, as you well and truly know, the British are really true fighters. And
yeah,
as soon as they heard about that, I mean, all hell was let loose. And the bill just completely disappeared. I mean, it just didn't go through. Well, now it would appear that the same kind of thing is now rearing its rather ugly head over on this side. And but unless the people are made aware of it, I mean, this is the problem. I mean, the more the public are made aware of this, then they can do something about it. But if they don't know anything about it, it slips through almost without their knowledge. Then they find that they can't do this and they can't do that. They can't have this treatment. They can't have that treatment. Which is absolutely and completely wrong.
So what bill is this?
This is bill, the number I've got down here is 6050.
That's a Senate bill, I believe.
That's right, and it's scheduled to go before Congress in their next session. The bill would direct full and unlimited authorities to the federal government for enforcement, and the U.S. Post Office will search the mail to adjudicate improper use of written materials for offers, diagnosis or treatment. It will also give them that right, you see, that if you're discussing an instrument which is not fully accepted, that mail can be intercepted and opened again, which is
accepted by the bureaucrats in Washington or the bureaucrats of the AMA.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think something should definitely be sort of done about it. I mean, that the public should know about this. So
and the bill would then establish the AMA as the know-all, see-all, and have-all.
They will be, as you just stated, God Almighty.
What we
have written down is the law, and that's it. And no one must diverge from
it. And the fact that they are beholden to the chemical companies, of course, does not appear in that bill.
Oh, no.
And we are supposed to assume that they are not in league with the chemical companies.
And hopefully they're not. And also be successful, you see, in blocking out from coming in to the United States any advance in the technological approach in medicine. It would definitely block it out.
And if we came up with a new medical technology which X'd out one of the chemical companies... would the bill let that happen?
I don't know. I don't know.
Those in charge are a part of the chemical
complex. Complex? Yes, well, there you are.
Why, of course, because those people are lovers of mankind and want to do everything they can to serve humanity. And how many of us got off the turnip truck just yesterday? What is that Senate bill? What's the number of it?
6050.
And it is sponsored by Senator Claude Pepper.
That's great.
Which is an unusual move for Claude Pepper, it would seem to me, knowing him as we do.
Well, perhaps he isn't fully aware of what he's really doing.
Maybe he needs to be educated.
Exactly.
He is a delightful man, and he has done an enormous amount of good. He is certainly in the forefront of the battle for the right of the senior citizens. He himself is one. And
all due respects to him. I mean, what he may be doing is, shall I say, what the powers that be of this of the USA do themselves. They are overprotective. It's like a mother being overprotective over her children. I mean, this is all good to a certain extent, but if it's too much, then those children lack something. They lack experience. They're shut off from the world. And this is what this is doing. I mean, it's literally being so protective for the welfare of the individual that it's denying them the rights to make their own choice.
Well, there's certainly nothing wrong with a society and the instrument the society uses, which is government, of protecting the people as much as possible.
That's correct.
From quackery
and
things that are really
agree.
Injurious.
Yes.
But there is something less than complete when, in the overzealousness to protect us from quackery, we also insulate us from any advances that can be made that work to the benefit of the human being.
That's right.
And to put those in the hands of, say, the AMA, who has a tradition of being where they are and they're not interested in going too much further, perhaps we do have a great deal of trouble.
Yes.
All of that does not smack of the typical kind of American independence and innovation which made America what it is today. We run into this controversy all of the time that do the people know best what's for themselves, or rather, do the bureaucrats of Washington know best what is for ourselves? As for me, I don't have too much to say about what the bureaucrats know, but that's just me talking.
I think the people as a whole, I mean, the human race as a whole, I mean, has enough knowledge and intellect now to be able to understand things, to be able to choose things. In the old days, I mean, the doctor never told the patient what was wrong with them. I mean, they put a huge name on that they couldn't understand. Well, all that's in the past now. I mean, a doctor can discuss concepts, it can discuss diagnosis, it can discuss everything because it considers, or at least the majority of us consider, that the patients are adult enough now to be able to understand. And you discuss the form of treatment that you're going to give. Well, I mean, if they put this kind of bill through, then that's going back. It's a backward step. It's going back to there again by putting forward the idea that the public is not adult enough to be able to understand and make its own personal choice, and it should be able to.
Well, don't you understand, Peter, that the public really doesn't know things? Only bureaucrats have knowledge?
Oh, that's what they're saying, you see.
In a way. Well, the bottom line is, though, we come across a man like yourself, Dr. Peter Guy Manners, who has a long history of success, a long history of using a new science and a new concept and a new way of treating human illness very successfully. That's the bottom line. And now you get resistance to that because you're not using the old way. You're doing a strange thing. Why, you're using sound instead of hydrochloric acid. How dare you do that?
That's true. But you see, the point is that most of Europe and now Asia is anxious to use these techniques. We've been, just now this year, back from the World Health Organization, in which we're lecturing to the third world countries. This technique can be used, and people can be trained to use it in a very short space of time, so therefore it's a great asset. So, I mean, if this kind of thing goes on and they still continue to block out, they're going to have the third world countries using advanced techniques of medicine, which is denied to the American public. And this is not fair. It's not fair to the American people.
You know, we were talking between a commercial break here, I think, during the news about the new kind of hospitals that not one exist in the United States, but they are very prominent in the United Kingdom and in Europe and elsewhere. What?
Yes, this comes back onto homeopathy. I mean, very few people understand what the word means, but it basically means that like cures like. I think it's there's an old terminology, the hair of the dog that bit them.
I use that every morning.
We had a very interesting article, which I picked up since I've been here in the United States. And may I read this? I mean, is it all right?
Certainly.
It's one that refers to our queen. And
bless her.
If anyone read this, I mean, it sounds absolutely absurd. I'll read it out. It's written here. The Queen of England takes poison to keep herself healthy. Queen Elizabeth of England takes medicines many doctors have never heard of. Eerie remedies made from poison ivy, bee stings, venom, and arsenic. And she's never been a patient in a hospital or needed surgery in her entire life. The Queen is a confined believer in the 170-year-old art of homeopathic medicine, in which minute portions of deadly poisons are used to cure disease. The Queen's father was a devoted disciple of homeopathic medicine before her. The more poisonous the substance, the more effective they are as a homeopathic medicine, explains James Crawford, manager of Nelson's Pharmacy, which provides homeopathic medications to members of the royal family. That, I may add at this point, is absolutely incorrect. I mean, because it isn't a fact that the more poisonous the substance, the more effective they are, because homeopathic medicine uses all the medications and drugs that the allopathic people use, but use it in a new form. It is not only poisons that they're using, so that's absolutely incorrect. To cure a stomach upset or sneezing, Queen Elizabeth takes arsenic. For a headache, she swallows trace elements of deadly nightshade, also known as belladonna. Well, I mean, written just like that, the whole thing sounds absurd. I mean, it makes the average person who knew nothing about homeopathy reading that would think it was absolutely ridiculous, when it's an absolutely authentic medical science. There is one preparation made from poison ivy for rheumatism and lumbago, a substance that derived from the strychnine for digestive disorders, arsenic to cure food poisoning and diarrhea, arnica, poison plant to treat bruises, aconite, a poison flower for colds and chills, the bee sting venom for treating swelling. I mean, all these things are basically correct, but not just as it put down there. What it means is that, I mean, this science of this particular type of medicine was discovered by Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, a German physician, about 200 or 300 years ago. And, I mean, it's proved successful. So successful, I mean, the United Kingdom, it is the only hospital that carries the royal insignia. It is the Royal Homeopathic Hospital. We have hospitals in England dealing with homeopathy. You have them in France, Germany, Belgium, Holland, Denmark, right throughout the world, with the exception of the United States. Now, the United States did have some. We've got the exact number here. I don't know how many it was now, but they had several.
Probably wasn't many.
No, it wasn't many, but the point is, it's the only country now in the world that hasn't got any. And the reason why it hasn't got any is because it doesn't come under allopathic drugs. Here you have the drug houses again.
Allopathic, I mean, meaning?
Allopathic is the ordinary drugs used by the medical profession. What we used in the Ajahn Sabhai old days.
And the homeopathic is?
Homeopathic is far more advanced. There's no side effects. It's a safe form of treatment. Far more effective.
Well, you were talking about bee venom and poison ivy and snake venom and all of that. Is that part of it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Part of it, too?
Anything that can be created in the human body by a massive dose can be cured if it's atomized.
Well, I do know, for instance, people that handle venomous snakes, for instance, can be bitten by one of those snakes.
Yes.
And it probably won't bother them because they've been bitten a number of times.
That's correct.
But if Bill walks into there and gets bitten by one of those coral snakes,
yes,
goodbye, Bill.
That's right. That's because the body hasn't built up the antibodies to combat it, you
mm-hmm.
see. I mean, let's take the simple one there, the bee sting there. People who deal with bees very seldom get rheumatism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is how that thing was discovered. But it's the sting, the poison within the sting, that can create a similar condition to rheumatism. I mean, if you've got inflammatory rheumatism in which a joint is highly inflamed and swollen, it's very similar in all its concepts and all its points as to a bee sting. So therefore, if you take the sting of the bee in its atomized sense and inject it or take it, most of it is taken now orally by the mouth, taken by the mouth, it will cure it.
How fascinating.
You see, but it's not a new concept. That's the whole point about this. But it's gradually been... Again, I think most of the reason is because it's a far more delicate science.
Mm-hmm.
Any doctor who uses this method usually has to have further tuition and training before he becomes a homeopath. So most of our homeopaths, especially in England, are MDs who have gone through ordinary medicine and then advanced into homeopathic
medicine. Advanced beyond that.
That's right,
yes. And you spent a long time getting just to the ordinary medicine.
Oh, yes.
Thing.
Oh, yes.
So we're dealing with some super doctors, in a way.
That's
that
right.
Have a whole new idea and concept. When? Are you ready to talk to the callers? I know that they're... If you can see the board over here, it's solid. They want to talk to you about a lot of things, Dr. Manners. I'm speaking to Dr. Peter Guy Manners, who, in his own way, is a, is a medical maverick, I suppose, as far as he might be generally viewed here in the United States. But he has some very important things to say to you. And not only that, they're not just ideas and concepts and theories. They're things that are backed up by decades of research and data that shows it works. And that's the bottom line, isn't it? You'll have your chance to talk to him in just a moment. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. It's Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. Dr. Peter Guy Manners is with me. A new look, backed by a lot of history, about how to take care of yourself. And let's go to our callers. I know that they've been waiting for a while. Carol is on the line. Hello, Carol.
Hi, Bill, and hi, Dr. Manners. First of all, Dr. Manners, I want to express my gratitude to you for being there and sharing your knowledge with us. My particular situation, a month and a half ago, within a 24-hour space, my left eye went blind. And I have been to the chiropractor because I think that the cause of it is constricted nerves in the neck. And since then, I've gained about 85% of the vision back. I've been using heat treatments and vitamins, that kind of thing. And I'm wondering if you can offer any kind of sounds or colors that would be good for the eyes.
Yes, it would need an examination to find out precisely what the reason is behind this. But in all probability, as your first statement was, that a nerve has been blocked off somewhere.
Right.
Now, if a nerve is blocked off, then again, going back, we're saying to the cymatic concept, the frequency within that nerve and that nerve area will have changed. And by changing, it will also change the ability of the cells and cell tissue within the retina and the eye. Therefore, if you take it from the base and use a frequency into the structures and the nerves at the back of the neck, in all probability, this will reactivate the nerve and your sight will gradually improve.
Are these ultrasonic tones?
Oh, most definitely not. No, no. Ultrasounds and ultrasonics is something which has been used in the medical profession over a period of time. This, in its early days, I mean, I was in a hospital which dealt with some of the early cases of ultrasonics. And ultrasonics, to begin with, was something which was extremely dangerous. You see, when you use ultrasonics, you're forcing a sound wave through structure. Now, if you force a sound wave through structure, you create heat or a heat barrier.
Right.
And heat barrier can be dangerous. It can cause a term which we call cavitation. And cavitation can and will destroy structure and tissue. That is why every ultrasonic apparatus now has to have a timing concept on it so that it doesn't overrun the time. And this is a safety factor and is compulsory by law. I think that extends here in the United States the same it does in Kingdom and Europe. But the point is, if this concept is used too strongly, then a severe damage will be done by ultrasonics. But this is sound within the audible range.
Does each person have their own harmonic makeup?
No, not definitely, no. They have a harmonic of the whole body, but this is composed of the frequencies within the cell, tissue, and structure. But none of them are constructively all the same. If we take something, we'll say simple, for instance, let's take an ordinary muscle. An ordinary muscle is composed of basically five frequencies, but there are not only just five in it. There are many more than that, but the five represent the kind of skeletal structure on which the holistic pattern which constitutes the form and shape of the muscle is constructed and built. So therefore, when you tune into this on the apparatus that we use, each frequency variates or backwards and forwards, so that when they are harmonized together, when they are collected together and put together into one harmonic, you have not five frequencies, but perhaps 200 or 300 frequencies operating into a holistic pattern.
Okay.
Now, when this is applied either to muscle or nerve, the individual selects only from that what is required. What is not required passes without damage or injury straight through the cell, tissue, and structure. It will pass straight through without doing any harm or any damage.
Is there anyone in Los Angeles who is using this type of treatment?
Not at the present moment, there isn't, but within a short space of time, we think there will be.
Mm-hmm. And is there any color in particular that's related to vision?
Not a specific color. I mean, each color has its own use in various conditions. You see, color is, again, only a variation of frequencies of light. If you put a whole mass together, if you put a whole mass of sounds together, you get what we call white sound. That's just a noise.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a whole of the colors together, then you get white light, the same as you get from daylight. This is because all the colors are put in there together. But if you increased the frequency of either one of them, any one of them, then it will alter the shade of the color. So according to the shade, so that denotes either the harmonic value. To explain this still further, the normal sort of green, like what we call the natural green, is equivalent to the note C on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
It's about middle C. So therefore, the going up or down, you can tell near enough by that where the other colors are and what frequencies they hold.
Does that help you, Carol?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much.
If you want any further technical details on this, if you write to me, these papers on these details technically are available.
Now, what is the... how do we reach you?
If you write to the secretary, if you write to take this down, the secretary of the Brett Fortin, I'll spell the word, B-R-E-T-F-O-R-T-O-N, Brett Fortin, Medical Research Trust, Brettfordton Hall.
How do you spell that?
Brettfordton, the same again.
B-R-E-T-F-O-R-T-O-N,
Brettfordton Hall, Worcestershire, England. And state what it is you want, and the various academic papers are available.
Do you have the zip code on that, too?
Do you have zip codes in England?
Yeah, yes, they have letters.
We do, but I can't remember what it is. WR11 5JH. That's something I can never remember. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Manners.
No, no. All right,
Carol, thank you for your call. Appreciate okay. that. And we have Stuart on the line. Hello, Stuart.
Hello, Bill. I like your doctor. He sounds very sensible indeed.
Oh, thank you for that compliment.
Well, I think he is, or he wouldn't have been here.
Right.
That's why we're on this program.
Well, I have a question that involves the bill that you mentioned that was squelched in England and is coming up over here.
Yes.
Does that affect in any way spiritual healers? I mean, like Christian Science practitioners and so on.
It doesn't actually state that. No, I think that will escape. It doesn't actually state that that is not... But you see, you're not using any instrument or appliance. You're not administering a drug or any other medicine. No, I think that will escape. I don't think it will affect that.
But it will affect the naturopath.
Oh, yes.
And clean out the stalls in the health food stores, apparently.
Yes, yes, so that affect those very seriously.
Yes, that is... I don't think it'll pass. I mean, I think we're strong enough.
I sincerely hope it
will. Bill will certainly be on the warpath about it.
Sure, don't let it go through.
Yes. Bill?
Yes, sir.
Did you get the material today?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen the mail.
Oh, I see it. I sent it out early yesterday morning, and I can tell you now it's definitely set for the 15th of February.
Well, now, wait a minute, Stuart. We'll go ahead and... Stuart has been a guest on the show. Stuart Robb we're talking to. Stuart Robb is going to do a concert utilizing the music of one of your country ladies there, Stuart, Rosemary Brown. Do you know Rosemary?
We've heard of her, yes.
Rosemary, of course, has enormous ability to write in the style of all of the great masters.
That's She's right.
A psychic lady.
That's right.
And her music is... fascinating. We've done a number of shows on Rosemary. I know her, and perhaps we'll see her when we go to London. We'll be in London, by the way, on May the 12th, myself and a number of our listeners that want to go along, and we're going to see the ghost houses. Perhaps we can even see you when we're over there.
Excellent. We're glad to have you there.
And Rosemary and the House of Lords is going to entertain us and give us an update on their UFO research, all of those wonderful things that we
do. That's fine.
Stuart, you're going to do a Rosemary Brown concert for what is the organization?
It's for Ethiopia,
mm-hmm.
and you are the sponsor, and also it will be at Cypress College in the main hall, the main music hall, the Fine Arts Hall, and at 8 p.m., and total proceeds will be for Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And in March, for those who are interested in this music from the next world, I will also be doing one on the 20th at the Fullerton at the piano store, Fullerton piano store there,
mm-hmm.
And that's on Harvard, and that will be for the Central American refugees. A lot of them are being sent back to El Salvador, and according to the Archbishop there, about a third of them are murdered within 6 months. So I'm hoping we can have less of that happening.
Well, I'm sure Rosemary would appreciate the music being used for a cause such as that.
Yes.
If we can, if I can just intercept there, the music, you do realize now that music therapy is now one of the accepted medical sciences in the United Kingdom.
And it has been for a long time, but not scientifically, without knowing why.
Well, we're creeping in. We're coming in by the back door, we'll let you know.
Well, that brings forth another question. While I have Stuart Robb, who's a fine musician, and you yourself are dealing with it from a medical aspect, is there good music and bad music as far as health is concerned?
Oh, yes, most definitely. This has been tried out many, many times. We had a group over here in the United States, a group of doctors who were investigating, we say, the old masters. And when their paper arrived at our research clinic, stating something like Wagner can affect the stomach and Chopin affects the chest and Mozart affects some other part, and we thought it was stretching it a bit. But when we come to realize it and sort of sort it out, it really made constructive sense. Because I'm not a musician, I'll admit that before I start. But if you listen to music, and almost anyone can do this, you've got a pretty good idea whether it's Wagner or Mendelssohn or Mozart or Chopin. Now, the reason why you sort of recognize this is because of the tones that they use in their melodies and their music. But we found that these various tones and melodies will affect certain organs and structures within the human body. So that if you're playing it with music, we say in an orchestra, in a concert, and the concert is the people are in there, they are being affected by this, but it's rather a hit and miss, because what will affect one will not affect the other. But if we take these parts out of the music and put them in, then we can utilize that as music therapy. So therefore, a lot of these pieces of music now are being used for actual therapy. Over and beyond that now, we have been able to record these musics, put them into a cymatic instrument, and actually inject them into nerve centers and structures of the human body. And this gives very good results.
What would you do if you used that technique with the music of Kiss or Kiss of Fire or some of the rock groups that are going on?
You do irreparable damage.
Irreparable damage. They deal with discords a lot, I notice, in that music. I find it very difficult to listen to. I try to keep up, but I try to stay with it.
Yes.
But I just have I've lost it with music until it's redone. You know?
Well, I think the first question that someone else is going to say is, well, my son or my daughter is 15 or 16 or 17 years old, and they absolutely adore it.
Oh, yes, mine too.
And you get someone who, as we're saying, in their 60s and 70s, or in their 50s or 40s, and they can't stand it. But there's a reason, also a medical reason behind that. If the frequencies within the human body are, we say, in line or concept with it, they can accept it. Therefore, in most of the young people, they are strong enough and healthy enough to be able to resist it.
Well, it's almost like the venom we were talking about.
That's right.
You know, they took the snake poison and now they can enjoy it, I suppose.
But what they listen to, what the majority of the young people accept from out of that music, is not the music as sound, but the music of feel. In other words, the beat.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beat that does it. But the older person listens to the sound. They perceive the sound and almost exclude the beat very often.
Well, I do. That's the reason I dance very badly. My wife won't dance. I dance to the melody, if you can imagine that. And she dances to the beat, and so therefore I'm going one way and she's on the other side of the room.
That's right.
And therefore she won't dance with me. All right, Stuart, thank you very much, and best of luck on the concert.
Yes,
and congratulations
thank
you
very much,
to
Bill.
You for the tireless effort that you're doing for your fellow man.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it very much. Okay, we have Mary on the line. Hello, Mary.
Hello there. Good evening, Bill and Doctor.
Good evening.
Have you had any kind of luck, and have you made any progress on treatment of Parkinson's disease?
Oh, yes, quite a lot. With this particular disease, if you put on, let's go back to the music again.
Mm-hmm.
If you put on some music, the individual can't beat the same as you can. You know, you tap your hand or you tap your foot.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do this because the coordination within the nerves has been completely disrupted.
Right.
Now, we are able, with the cymatic concept, to reverse the process. If you're listening to a piece of music, you listen, the sound enters your ear, it travels to your brain interprets it, your brain fires the synapse affects the nerve affects the muscle, all that paraphernalia goes on merely to tap your hand. Now, this process doesn't take place when there's cerebral palsy or when there's any kind of paralysis. So therefore, we can reverse the process. In other words, we take the sound and use the energy contained within the sound by using a pad structure in, we say, to the hands or the foot, as the case may be, and then to the nape of the neck. And with the pulse beat, then will travel in through the muscle, the nerve, and to the synapse, and to the brain. Now, by doing that, as you switch on the instrument, so that the hand, whether it's paralyzed or whether it's by cerebral palsy or any of these things, or Parkinson's disease, will beat rhythmically to the music, right? Now, that's only one part of what you want to happen. What you want to happen is for the synapse of the brain, in other words, the control to come from the brain to the arm and the hand, not from the hand to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, when you put this on, I mean, the patient will be sort of thrilled to think that their hand can beat up and down. This gives them quite a thrill anyway. But you say to them, now, when you feel the effect of that traveling into your hand, consciously, with your mind, lift your hand at the same instant, the same point. Now, if they are doing it, when the synapse starts to function, if the hand lifts, we say, 10 inches from the table, it will lift 12 inches if the synapse of the nerve fires it. So therefore, you can tell. You don't have to look in a little crystal ball. You just watch the hand. And if it's not lifting higher, then you just stop and you say, no, look, you're not trying hard enough. You must try hard enough. Get them to close their eyes sometimes. It's a great help. If they close their hand, they don't know how much extra energy is going into the hand. As this starts to function, then you turn down the amount of power traveling into the hand because the synapse of the brain then starts to function. And in Parkinson's disease, which will start to stem the tremor, and where there is paralysis, start to activate the muscle and the nerve.
Mm-hmm.
Before, they've been using drugs like L-Dopa and others for...
It's worse than the disease.
Oh, yes. The side effects of that are worse than the disease itself.
I can testify to that. For the last 5 weeks, they've been treating my husband for the side effects.
That's right.
I'm familiar with that myself. My father died of that disease.
Yes. So many of these drugs do. And I mean, we in the medical profession did until we saw the light.
To use a pun.
Until we got the open mind.
How soon will your treatments be available?
Well, as soon as we can get operators over here to, or clinics over here to operate the instruments, the sooner it will be available.
It has passed muster, as it were. Is that true? With the so-called powers of
pain? More or less. We haven't had it thoroughly investigated by your, Food and Drugs Act. It is true.
Well, that'll give some bureaucrats a career.
That's right. It certainly will. But the point is, it is a scientifically evaluated instrument, and therefore, I mean, we can prove scientifically and medically what it does. It's not something which is hypothetical. I mean, it has its...
Yeah, the data is there.
The data is there. That's correct.
And results is really the name of the game.
That's right.
Does that help you, Mary?
Yeah, I think so. I'd like to know, will you be letting us know through Bill's program exactly when and where we can go further with it?
Yes, we will endeavor to do with that. And if we get practitioners within the area, if we let him know, then he can pass on the information to you.
We'd appreciate it very much.
We want to make sure that everything is above board and well with the bureaucrats, and then you'll know.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. And with me tonight is Dr. Peter Guy Manners, in the vanguard of a whole new way to take care of yourself. And there's a lot more to come, so stay with. We've touched on some of those. We'll touch them again, but we do want to touch on some of the questions and ideas that you have in your mind, and Patty is on the line. Hello, Patty. Welcome aboard.
Oh, hello. How are you doing?
So far, so good.
That's good. I wanted to say I completely believe in and agree with 100% everything that you and Peter have said. And I wanted to ask if Peter is doing any kind of therapy over here right now in treating people, and to confirm that address in England, because I'm not sure of the spelling for some of these words.
Well, the English spell things funny. You know. They have funny names over there.
We certainly do. To the answer to your first part of the question, no, we're not doing any therapy over here, because you have another rule over here, law over here, that however well trained you may be in Europe, you can't practice in the United States. So unfortunately, we can't get treatment. So if you need treatment, you have to come, you have to cross the border somewhere. And then we can do it.
The purpose of the program with Dr. Manners being here, Patty, is just to acquaint you with the fact that there is something else going on in the world. And hopefully we in the United States will be able to take advantage of it. And that's just to acquaint you with what that is. But hopefully we will begin to understand those.
Well, you see, the UK is so interested in the United States, and we really don't want you left out of things when all the rest of Europe is coming in. You see, we can't afford to have America left out.
Well, I sure would like to become acquainted with this.
Well, seriously, if you want more details, I mean technical, etc., of this, if you write to me, I'll give you the address again, if you write to my secretary, at the Brett Fortin, I'll spell the word, B-R-E-T, F-O-R-T-O-N.
Uh-huh.
Brett Fortin, Medical Research Trust.
Uh-huh.
Brett Fortin, that's the name of the village.
Oh, is that the same word?
Same word, yes,
okay.
Yes. Worcestershire.
And how do you spell that?
Worcestershire, like Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, I don't know how to spell Worcestershire sauce.
Look on the bottle in your pantry.
W-O-R-C-E-S-T-E-R-S-H-I-R-E. Worcestershire.
Oh, I see.
Isn't it a lovely word?
Yes, it is.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yes. It's a very nice county, too. And I mean, it's nothing to do with the sauce, really.
And but, that, Patty, is the last time we're going to spell it on the show tonight.
Okay.
But Lita at Broadcast Information will have it spelling correct and the whole thing for you in case you missed it.
Okay, well, this year's
But that's all right, Patty. Don't feel bad. I don't know how to spell it either. In fact, I can't even say it. You know, I'm from Texas, and there are certain words that will not come out of my mouth. That being one, I call it Winchester.
Well, that puts it right for us, you know, because you've got a lot of words over here that if we spelt them the way we hear them, we'd spell them wrong, you see? It's like the one I always make the mistake of over here, and that is Berkeley University, which you call Berkeley University, you see?
Berkeley.
But it's not Berkeley, it's Berkeley.
Berkeley Square.
Correct.
Well, you know, I always tried to tell my teachers, Peter, I just spell them the way I hear them, you know? And they told me to go be an umpire and call them the way you see them, but meanwhile you get an F on spelling. Because, as you know, we don't spell words right. We don't want to go into that. But
we won't enter into that. No, it's too involved.
Whoever dreamed up the spelling of words like pneumonia should have had pneumonia. Patty, does that help you?
Yeah, that helped me a lot, and it's really a great privilege, you know, for Peter Guymenis to be on your show, and it's a privilege to meet him, and I thank you very much, and you have no idea how much your show has helped me. It's just helped me just tremendously.
Oh, Patty.
It's a great joy to be here.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. We have Pat on the line. Hello, Pat. Do not ask us to spell words.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
I wondered if Dr. Manners had any success in treating rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, yes, very much. We have case histories going back for 20 years on that particular disease. If we catch it quick enough, soon enough, yes, we can clear the thing completely. But even if people have had it over a long period of time, we can get ease and movement back. One thing we can't achieve just at the moment, and that is a reversal of deformity. If the structure has been deformed due to the condition, that, I'm afraid, will remain, because that is ossification in bone structure, and that can't be actually cleared. But we can unlock the joints and get them moving again. Yes, we can do that. And we've had a vast measure of success with it.
Well, that sounds wonderful. At least you can reduce...
We've particularly chosen sometimes cases that have been in... who've had the complaint for large numbers of years, sometimes 20 or 30 years. And we take these cases specially to see what effects we can maintain in them. And some of the advanced cases who, when we first see them, I mean, medically, we say, well, you have about 6 months in which you can still continue to move or feed yourself. Some of these cases are after 10 to 15 years are not only still able to move about, but also improved at the same time.
Well,
Did that help you, Pat?
Yes, I wondered about Canada. Do they do your treatment there?
Yes, yes. We have two clinics operating actually in Canada, one in Toronto and one in Saskatchewan.
Well, because, you know, if it takes a long time to get here, I don't want to wait that long.
Well, if you like to write to me at the address which we've spelled out, we'll give you the doctors that are operating it in Canada.
Canada. Uh-huh.
Well, a question for you, Peter, and Pat, I'm kind of glad you brought that up. If there was someone who was qualified and wanted to get involved in this kind of therapy in Los Angeles right now.
Yes.
Would they be able to do so, or is there still a lot of legal work that has to be done?
No, they would be able to.
That's all been...
Yes.
That's
if,
all been
if,
clear
they're, if they're an MD, if they're a doctor, they are free because they are at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so they can choose whatever technique they want. And there is still frowned upon if it is something which is sort of abstract. But this is a physical, material, evaluated concept. So therefore it is...
With enormous amount of successful data and research
behind it.
That's
right, so they can use it.
So it can be done.
Yes.
It's just not being done yet.
That's correct.
That's the thing, Pat.
That's correct.
All right, Pat, does that help you?
Oh, yes, very much, and thanks.
Well, listen, I thank you very much for being with us. We're going to take a break here in just a moment or two. We're talking to Dr. Peter Guy Manners tonight, over here from... Jolly old Winchester.
Winchester.
Worcestershire. But Dr. Manners has for a long, long time been in the forefront of an alternative way to treating those things that ail you, and that certainly is important to each and every one of us. And we have another hour of this to go. We want to talk to as many of you as you can. We want to talk about also... an effort that is being waged in Congress, surprisingly, by Claude Pepper, that might put a crimp in this kind of treatment for you. And we'll get into that this next hour. So you stay with. We'll pause for news. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. I'm so delighted that you're with us tonight. So stay with. Change the way you think about it. And to help us do that, we have here from England, from Winchester.
Worcestershire.
Dr. Peter Guy Manners. I don't want to really have a lot of levity when I talk about Dr. Manners, because he certainly is a very important figure, I think, in the society of the world and the research that he has done in new avenues for medical research and making our life much more enjoyable by having a very well body. And not having too much disease. And he is doing this by using sound and light and color. It has been a long and hard road for him. It's being accepted all over the world. Some difficulty here in the United States, but that's the way we do things over here. And that's really not so bad in many, many areas. You know, we were talking about the bill that is being sponsored by Claude Pepper before the Congress, which on the surface of it gives an awful lot of authority to the American Medical Association, that they are the know-all, see-all, and that's it all about medicine. And in fairness to Claude Pepper, who is a very fine public servant here in the United States, I know that his concerns are for the elderly. I'm supposing now, if I may, we were talking about the bill, and then we'll just talk about it here in a second, that is being introduced by him in Congress. I think he, and this very well may be the case, Dr. Manners, that he is very, very concerned about the fact that so many of the elderly have been victims of the purveyors of all kinds of cures.
Oh, yes, I think that's...
right and left. And
yes.
Sitting in Congress as he does, he has wanted to do something to insulate and protect them from the charlatans, which exist, not only, certainly they exist in the medical profession, they exist in all professions, but... when you're elder and your health is failing, you grasp at straws.
That's correct.
And look at the ramifications of what he is doing, because in this bill, which is, what, 1060? Is that the number of it?
6050. 6050.
In my opinion, and that's all it is, he's just put too much power in the hands of too few people who are very, very concerned about not necessarily your good health. Although on the surface of it, you would think they were, the American Medical Association. In short, that gives them the power to even open the mail. Now, here in the United States, we just don't like to see anybody opening our mail. If they think maybe somebody is talking about a cure that's not sanctioned by the American Medical Association and things such of this nature. And we'll do everything we can to try to get Todd Pepper here and the AMA here and perhaps some other representatives to look upon what that is doing to individual freedom and my right and your right to take care of my own body the way I want to. Thank you. Anything else you want to say on that?
No, I feel certain that if this was made sort of clear to him, that I think he could do a lot to put that right.
Well, I hope so. I certainly have a great deal of regard for him. Is there anything else that you personally would like to touch upon in what you're doing before we go on to our callers? Because they are stacked up here. They want to get to you and talk to you.
No, let's get on with the callers, I think. This must be a good one.
Well, I don't want to miss anything that you have to say. that's not our style. Okay, we have right here Myrna. Welcome aboard.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm so happy to have something like this. I'm wondering, is this a series of treatments? Or does do you have a treatment, say, for a week? If I went to Toronto, how long would it take me to, say, get over being a borderline diabetic?
Well, it depends on the diagnosis and also depends on how long you've had it. There's so many things that have to be taken into consideration.
Yes.
But in all probability, no, it wouldn't need a lot of, what should I say, backwards and forwards treatment. In all probability, once the treatment had been started, I mean, we'll say several treatments, and then corrected a diet was given to you, and corrected homeopathic medication, this could then be carried on at home. So therefore, the process would not be a long one.
I see. And how about plaque in the blood vessels? Have they gotten anything on that?
Yes, this has also been treated by Cymetics. We can affect the bloodstream with it and also the areas of blood with Cymetics. Yes, treatment has been given, and this could be given at the clinic in Canada.
Uh-huh. Thank you so very much. Bill, your program is wonderful.
Well, Myrna, thank you very much for checking in with us and stay with us throughout the evening.
I certainly will.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And we have John on the line, or Joni. Got it wrong both times.
Oh, well, it's close. It's Johnny.
Johnny. Okay. J-O-H-N-I. All
right. Well, I wanted to just talk about the homeopathic remedies.
Yes.
And I got in late on the talk, and I thought you were saying something about not having those treatments in this area, or is that just about the music therapy? It's not necessary. Because there is homeopathic doctors around Los Angeles, this Oodles of them.
Oh, yes, there are. That's true. But you have no homeopathic teaching hospitals or anything here, see?
Oh, that's right.
That's the great problem. So, therefore, if you have students now coming up, there is no teaching hospital available for them. There were many at the beginning of the century in this country, but now they've gradually all disappeared. So, therefore, you haven't any at the present moment, and
but
there should be.
The doctors have all trained elsewhere that I've talked to.
Most of their training has been done in Europe, yes.
Right, or in India or various
That's
countries.
Right, yes.
Right. And yeah, there's a standard homeopathic pharmacy in L.A. that has a list of the doctors, if anybody needs to...
Oh, well, that's fine, because we've had someone asking that. I'll pass that information on.
Right, and it's in the phone book, and it's just downtown, and you go down and pick up the list if I... Three or four pages,
That's fine. Good.
Also, what can you do about chicken pox once someone has contacted them?
Go to bed, take two aspirin, and
no,
drink lots of water.
There's a homeopathic remedy for everything.
That's right. Yes,
there is. Just everything.
Yes, there is a homeopathic remedy for that. And another great, or should I say, asset to the homeopathic remedy
mm-hmm.
is that it clears it from the system itself. You see, invariably, with chickenpox, in later life, you get shingles.
Mm-hmm.
And shingles really is only the deposit within the structure of the spine of the germ, bug, virus, or bacillus, whichever you like to call it, of the chicken pox. But if you take a homeopathic remedy to clear it, there is no return to that. But it is not a specific remedy. It has to be adjusted to the individual. That's why it's a far more meticulous form of treatment. But if you go to a homeopathic physician, I mean, he will give you something. He can also give you something so that if you're open to infection somewhere, that you can take it to protect yourself. So therefore, if the old idea that if you have several children and one gets chickenpox, you put them all in together and get them all chickenpox together, which was the old idea, need not necessarily be at all. They can be given a prescription which will keep them immune from it.
All right. Let's say you have one child that has the chickenpox and you have the other one's the homeopathic remedy. every time the child that you gave the remedy to gets exposed to chickenpox, do they need to have that remedy again? Or will they already have immunities?
Invariably, they hold an immunity. There's very seldom that you get a return of it, even without the remedy. Once you've had it, you are immune to it.
No,
but what does happen is that it crops up later in life in another form.
What I mean is the child that didn't have it, the brother or sister who he gave the remedy to so that they didn't get the chicken pox.
Yes.
They didn't develop symptoms.
Yes.
If they're later exposed to chicken pox again.
Then give it to them again.
Okay. That
oh, yes. Yes, yes. I give them the same dose again.
Great. I want to also tell you that my daughter was having recurrent ear infections, middle ear infections, just continually. Was like on antibiotics, would get off, get a cold, get an ear infection.
Yes.
Treated her with homeopathics, and she hasn't had one in 4 years.
Good, that's excellent.
It's wonderful.
Yes, good.
Great, and I just appreciate you being on and still having you there so that people can find out there are alternatives to the standard medical approaches to things.
That's right.
That, and I hope that the bill doesn't get passed in the House of Representatives or in the Congress, because
write a letter.
You guys will, oh yeah.
That's right. Send a letter in.
You'd be gone. Okay.
All right, Johnny, thank you very much.
Okay.
But I always kind of enjoyed chicken pox. Remember, my brother got it, so I got it.
Oh no.
And then I could get out of school.
That's
and then
right,
when my sister got it, I went and displayed with her, and I didn't get it again. When my friends got it, I didn't get it again, and I really enjoyed the 2 weeks off from school.
Well, you can look forward to shingles.
I haven't had them yet.
Good. Okay, thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Speaking of that, I just returned from Fiji, where everybody ate lobster all the time, and I love lobster.
Mm-hmm.
Lobster does not love Bill. Is some of this going to... Can I sit under a light or listen to some music and enjoy lobster?
No, not exactly. But you can have an antidote made from the lobster. Maybe something in the lobster.
I think it's probably iodine.
It doesn't like.
Lobster and
could,
shrimp. And
yes. A homeopath could run a test and find what that is and then give you something to take which would possibly... offset that.
Forever and ever, or do we have to do it...
Once it's offset.
It's offset.
Yes, oh yes.
Got to find one of those.
Yeah.
Because lobster is so good. Okay, we have Lynn on the line. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
I'm a first-time caller, although I listen to you all the time.
Well, where have you been, Lynn?
Well, trying to get through. I am in practice in Orange County, in doing what I call spectrosound therapy, but not in the medical sense, in the psychological sense. And I wonder if the doctor sees a connection there.
Oh, most definitely. We have quite a few in Europe who are psychiatrists, who are working in the same field as you're working in, who particularly use this instrument. That's why we've had to adapt it for their use, and they find they are getting very, very good results from it. We have also lectured in Sri Lanka, in India. Now, in that continent, a tremendous amount of the doctors there are trained in the, shall we say, the Eastern schools, where they evaluate the concepts of the chakras and the aura of the body, something which doesn't enter into Western medicine very much at the moment. And therefore, we've been able to adapt it so that it can be used in their concept of medicine. And they're getting excellent results from that as well.
Yes, I got most of my information from Gaudiali Dinsha.
Yes, yes, that's right, yes.
And I utilize his book.
Mm-hmm.
He gives me the indication as to the physical application, and then I take the physical ailment and correlate that with the psychological meaning.
That's right. Well, you'd be an excellent student to train in the use of cymatics.
Yeah, I would love to.
Well, we welcome you in England at the school any time.
And do you have research articles available?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. So
many
if I write to the address
if
earlier...
If you write to that address, and they can be sent to you, yes.
We're not going to spell it again for you, Lynn.
Oh, no need. I got it the second time around. Thank you very much.
All right, Lynn.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you for
bye-bye.
Joining us tonight. It's 20 minutes past 11 o'clock on Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me is Dr. Peter Guy Manners. And we'll be back with you and the good doctor in just a moment.
Long the condition has been there and what damage has been done.
Mm-hmm.
But this can be checked. You'd have to submit to a test so that we can find out how much damage has been done there.
Yeah, but it's been even... there about 3 or 4 years now, I haven't.
Yes, but even if there is damage, a great deal of improvement can be achieved by cymatics.
It can?
Oh, yes.
And where can I go to get that treatment?
Well, until we've got a practitioner here in L.A., I'm afraid it's right the other side of the United States or into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But we hope within the very near future to have someone operating it closer to hand. And if so, that information can be passed on to you.
And we need to point out that having a practitioner in Los Angeles, all of the legal things, the licensing and all of that has already been cleared, and so it's all right to do that. Don't happen to have one now.
That's right. There'd be no problem with that, providing he is an M.D., you see.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, I'd like to get someplace in Los Angeles.
Well, maybe one of these days it'll happen, Grace.
How long do I have to wait?
not long, we hope.
Not long?
I hope not.
Yeah, the idea is to acquaint you and the audience with the fact that there is this new thing that is on the medical horizon for us here in the Los Angeles area and in the United States. And it has a long and deep history of success, and that's the reason it is coming here.
You don't know how soon it'll be here, though.
Who knows? But it's they're working on it.
Okay, then.
Okay, Grace?
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. And Edith, hello. Edith? Do I need to punch it again? Hello, Edith? Edith? Edith?
What type of, or rather, have you treated lupus with your procedure?
Can I have the question again?
Lupus.
Yes.
Have you treated lupus with your procedure?
No. We don't treat that with cymatics. We treat that with chromatology. This is using a formation or frequencies of light in color, and that can be treated by for that condition.
What is lupus, by the way?
It's a skin condition.
It's a what?
Skin condition.
Lupus?
Yes.
My daughter has it, and they tell her it's a form of arthritis that will kill you in the end. Lupus, L-U-P-U-S.
Lupus.
Lupus.
Well, I'm not quite sure on that one. I'd have to check that up for you.
Uh-huh.
We have a condition which is called lupus in the United Kingdom, which is a skin complaint.
No.
It's a kind of fungoid skin complaint.
No.
No.
No, it is not this.
Then it is an arthritic condition.
Yes, it is.
It is. Well, if it's an arthritic condition, then yes, this can be treated by cymatics.
Supposedly, it sooner or later attacks a vital organ, and that does mean death.
Yes, well, in that case, I mean, the sooner treatment is given, the better, because, I mean, it may be able to be stopped, but a full examination would have to be carried out first.
Okay, can I ask you another question?
Now, yes.
I got in on the last of this, and there is a clinic in Toronto, and where is the other clinic?
Saskatchewan. That's in Canada. Yes.
I understand that.
Yes.
Okay.
But we hope very soon to have one in Nevada and also one in Arizona.
Again, it would be a little chancy that we would tune in at the right time to get this information on the Open Mind program, right?
Yes.
Well, we can do that, or you can certainly write Dr. Manners.
You can write direct to me if you wish, yes.
And we've given the address, and we will have it for your broadcast information.
How about the address in Toronto? I have another friend that might be interested in going up there shortly.
Well, if you write to me at my address, I'll send you the clinic concerned.
You know, I'm sorry, but I got in later, and I did not get the address.
You didn't get the address.
I'm sorry.
If you will check Monday with Lita in broadcast information, that number is 557.
557.
7365.
7635.
No, 7365.
I'm sorry.
7365.
7365.
And she'll get it on to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Edith. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we have Jean on the line. Hello, Jean.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk to you about drusen in both eyes and this pre-retinal macular fibrosis, and particularly in the left eye. And it's with central M-A-C-U-L-A-R, macular edema. Are you able to treat that? I guess it's near, like, hardening of the arteries.
It is, yes.
At the moment, have peripheral vision.
Yes.
And have to turn sideways in order to look at something.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
I noticed from somebody else's call in a few moments ago that you wanted to know how long it had existed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
We can still drive a car.
Yes.
And, because the left eye is worse than the right eye. Do you treat this? He's under the care of Dr. Alan Krieger at USC.
Yes.
But, oh my, he would leave for England day after tomorrow if you have...
Well, we haven't actually treated a case of that ourselves, but yes, there's every possibility that a lot could be done to help that condition, because it is a hardening of a narrowing of the artery, and it's becoming blocked, you see, that's
yes,
what's happening,
uh-huh.
You see, and then the aperture becomes smaller. Well, if you can release the pressure within that artery and get the plaque which is forming on the inside to move, then that opens that up, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends, of course, how hard that is set, how much it is set, how much damage has been done to the wall itself, you see. But we haven't actually treated a case of that, but there's every possibility that it would respond to it.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
As soon as we have someone operating at the two clinics near, it would be advisable perhaps for
them
to
visit. Oh, at the price of the dollar today, we could go there.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Okay, Jean.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right,
bye
thank
bye.
You for checking in with us. You're listening to Open Mind tonight. I'm Bill Jenkins, and with me, Dr. Peter Guy Manners. As we hit the 11:30 mark, got about a half hour to go. We'll try to get to as many of you as we can. Chemicals and whatnot. And we have Bill on the line. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Bill. This is Bill speaking.
Hi.
This is very interesting. First of all, is this thing, can you control it? I mean, old people aren't the same.
Control what?
Well, you said you had control. I didn't have a control on it. When you're talking about this, whatever it does.
Are you referring to the instrument that we
yeah.
use?
Yeah.
Can you control it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, it's under perfect control, yes.
Would the
yes.
people be able to do that themselves?
I see what you mean. All right, I've got your question
yeah.
now. We have an instrument, or at least one of the instruments, which is for individual use.
Right.
Now, if a person has a condition which requires repeated treatment over long periods of time, in other words, if they've had, we say, rheumatism or arthritis over a long period of time, and it can't be actually cleared because too much structural damage is taking place, if they have a daily or a treatment every other day with cymatics, it will help to keep them mobile. It will stabilize the condition so that they can move. So we have a small instrument in which a prescription, we call it a prescription because that is what is set onto the magnetic field of the tape in the instrument, and the patient can give themselves their own treatment daily or whatever is prescribed for them.
Are these going to be expensive?
Are they expensive?
Yeah.
I think this one is 800. It's 800, that one, isn't it? Or 750. Mark one. It's... No.
We're having a conference over here.
No, I'm not quite sure of the cost of the instruments. I deal with the instruments, but I'm not quite sure of the cost of them. I think if you're really interested, write to me, and we'll send you over the list and the illustration of them so that you can see what they look like.
All right.
All
right? Let me ask you enough.
Yes?
I've got a hiatal hernia.
Yes.
Does it do anything for
me? Oh, yes. Yes, it'll help that, yes.
It will help that.
Yes, yes.
You said you have pads, where would you put them for that?
Well, if with the instrument, all the instructions as to how and to where you place them is supplied with the instrument for every condition.
And what do they make the pads of? Are they soft or what?
Yes, yes, they're soft, but the internal part of the pad itself is of a form of metal galls. Because you don't hear, when you use this, you don't hear any sound. You're only using the basic energy contained within sound.
I see. Listen, I'm an Englishman. I've got the flu at the moment, so I don't sound too good.
Can you speak up just a little bit there?
Yeah.
Flu or whatnot.
I'm an Englishman.
Oh, good, that's fine.
I just had the flu, so I'm a bit throaty.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but that's very fashionable. We've all got that, you know.
Wasn't there somebody went over here to England a few years back teaching that thing?
Oh, we've had many people over from there, yes. Yes.
From America, I mean.
Yes, we've had many over to our clinic over there being taught this technique.
No, I mean, wasn't there a man that was teaching it from here?
Oh, not as far as I know. No, I don't know of one.
When I was over there, I thought I heard something about this. Years ago.
Oh. Well, I... How many years ago would that be?
God knows now. I guess it must have been about 15 or something, maybe more, I'm not sure.
No, not... No, well, we've been doing it at our clinic. It's been in use in our clinic in experimental research departments for the last 20 years.
So that's not getting into the computer there, Bill.
Well, that...
Does that help you?
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much for being with us tonight. And Elizabeth is on the line. Hello, Elizabeth.
Oh, hello, Dr. Vanders and Bill.
Mm-hmm.
My husband has cardiomyopathy.
Yes.
The heart muscle is damaged, and
yes.
I wondered if in your treatment you could reverse the damage that the heart muscle has.
You don't reverse the damage that the heart muscle has, but if you took a sounding on that heart muscle, the frequency would have changed. So what you do is to implant, it's like a transplant, you transplant the corrected frequency back into the muscle structure, and this gradually brings it back into line again. This is how the treatment actually functions and works.
Oh, I see. What about the prostate gland? You know, where the gland is enlarged.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. This can also be treated by it. Yes?
By the sound waves.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much.
Not at all.
All right, Elizabeth.
Thank
Glad
you.
To have you aboard. You know, for those that just joined us, we're talking to Dr. Peter Guy Manners tonight, and this new approach to medicine is one that involves sound and light and color. Peter, do you want to sort of recap just a little bit what you're doing for those who have joined us since earlier in the evening?
Well, can we just touch on another point
that
I think is extremely interesting? And that is that the cymatic instrument can control pain. If you have an injury anywhere on the body, we all know medically and scientifically that the pain is not in the area concerned. The pain is actually in the brain. So, therefore, if you have an injury, we say, to your arm, lower part of the arm, a signal has to go from the arm to the brain before the brain registers the amount of pain. Now, for a long time, the medical profession has realized the fact that about 75% of the body's energy is wasted in adapting itself or tolerating the pain, and therefore the healing process is retarded. So therefore, medically, we inject morphia or any other of the drugs to deaden down the pain. Because if we deaden down the pain, then the healing process is speeded up. But we know too well now that if we use morphia or any of these drugs, we create side effects. We block off the pain, but we create other effects in its place. So therefore, it is not particularly good. Now, if there was some way in which we could block off the pain without creating any side effects, this would be a great asset. And cymatics can do this. And the way it does it is comparatively simple. What you do is to place the applicator above the seat of the injury, and the brain only receives the signal that you're transplanting into the structure. In other words, if there is damage to torn ligaments or torn muscles, the frequency pattern within those ligaments and muscles will have changed due to the injury. Therefore, the brain is receiving that changed signal, hence the depths of pain. So if we transmit or transplant into the structure above the seat of injury using one of the meridian points of the body, we can convey to the brain the corrected signal. In other words, we block off the synapse of pain. And by doing this, the healing process is speeded up. We're now adapting this now to be able to use in labor cases for pregnancy. Instead of the mother having to use gas or any of the injections, very soon they will be able to use this technique. Small pads will be placed at the pelvis at the back, and the mother can control it herself from her bedside by increasing the blockage into the nerve center. Now, this will create no damage, no harm to the fetus, and the mother will be relieved of the pain. I think it's extremely interesting.
That is very interesting. You know, I have found a way to get rid of pain. I have in my home a Neurophone. I don't know whether you're familiar with Dr. Patrick Flanagan's Neurophone. Mm-hmm. It certainly was intended as a painkiller at all. It's a way to bypass the eighth auditory nerve and get information into your subconscious. But in the process, one of its interesting side effects is that that produces endorphins.
Yes.
And at a rather high rate. And the first time I discovered this was when I broke my foot.
Yes.
Skiing down the slopes of San Moritz, of course. I was just getting out of the car. Bob's Big Boy broke my foot. And while I was sitting there with my foot in a cask, hurting like the dickens, I decided to learn some scientific information using the Neurophone, and the pain went away.
Yes.
And I asked Patrick about that, and he said, oh, yes, that's happening. So anytime that a painful situation comes up, I put on the Neurophone, which is using the science that you're talking about, perhaps in a different way.
Yes.
But letting the body cure its own pain.
We have found in this last, what I say, year of our further research into it, that this is one of the things that is happening by using cymatics, by inducting sound into the human anatomy or structure.
Mm-hmm.
You activate the endophorin secretion and therefore block off pain. You can interrupt the signal through. You can activate chemical values within the body. You can increase the hormone outputs, glandular action. So many other things now have come into the orbit of this particular form of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
It started off by being a simple, straightforward thing, and we find that there are so much more involved with it now.
I also remember when I broke my foot, Dr. Manners, that when we went back 2 days later, that those breaks in my foot, and I'm a 50-year-old man, I was 48 at the time, were totally healed.
Yes. Well, this again would be sound. Sound induction will speed up the unification of bone much quicker. If you put sound into where you have structures, where you have fractures, if you put sound into there, you will speed it up by almost 50%.
So it does work. You know, I'm walking around very well these days. We have Barbara on the line. Hello, Barbara.
Oh, yes, Bill. I'm glad to talk to you again. I'm a third-time caller. The last time I talked to you was when Shirley MacLean was on.
Well, yes.
And I think you're some kind of a miracle healer, can get somebody on there to help someone. This little boy, I call him my grandson, but he's not really my grandson, but he's that close. He's a little five-month preemie, and I just thought maybe Dr. Manners, I just found out, they kept it from me, that he has epilepsy, but he was in a total automobile accident, and he cannot walk anymore. But just before that, they had taken him to an osteopathic doctor, and because he would stumble, he had just started walking, and premature birthday was in August, which he wouldn't have been until December. I just wonder if this automobile accident, after the accident, he stopped walking. He still has feeling in his legs, but he has no strength to stand up on, and he's in Sinai Hospital now.
How old is he now?
He was born 5 months premature, and his birthday was last August, and he started walking.
You mean this
two weeks
last ago. August,
uh-huh.
Like 6 months ago?
Uh-huh.
Well, he has no business walking anyway.
Oh, no. He's He was 2 years old.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he's two and a half now.
I was thinking this kid was starting life, but he was sure walking early.
No, no, I said this. He was so premature, and he walked a little late because
point is important. He would make an excellent case for cymatics. You see, obviously there is a shock to the nervous system caused by the accident, possibly.
Uh-huh.
This will block off nerve action.
Especially you think it's just nerves from nerves?
No, not necessarily.
Uh-huh.
You see, he's young. I mean, it's small yet.
Uh-huh.
Now, if a nerve action is blocked off by shock in that way, the nerve will start to deteriorate. Therefore, treatment should be given fairly fast.
Oh.
I mean, you can offset the shock therapy. That is not a great problem.
Well, these doctors are so baffled at Cedars-Sinai, and they brought him in. They've given him every kind of an examination, treatment, everything, and he also has ear infection.
May be other complications to it, and of course you couldn't tell that unless you actually examine the child. But from what you've said, I mean, he would definitely benefit from that. If you activate the muscles, get the muscles working so that the muscles won't deteriorate, and also treat the nerve at the same time so that you get the nerve impulse on, there's every hope that he would walk perfectly normal in a comparatively short space of time.
Let me see if I've got that. Worcestershire.
And we're not going to go through.
Well, no, I won't. I'm going to see if I have it right because I'm desperate. I want to ask you, Bill.
What I want you to do, Barbara, is to call broadcast information.
I sure will, but I want to ask you, are you going to have a column in that magazine that comes out?
I always do.
Well, I've got one of them. I haven't found your column.
Well, it's always back in the back someplace.
I wish your picture. I've got to get to some of your...
In fact, in the last issue, the picture of me and John Bedini is in there.
Well, then I'm going to join it. I've got the card.
All right.
Okay, but I love your program.
Well, thank you, Bill.
And I love everyone you have on, and I always... I think it's some kind of a miracle that sent me to this. I never listened to a radio until I got hold of you.
Well, listen. You just come down here and sit with me one of these nights while we're doing it.
Oh, well, I'd enjoy it very much.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Manners.
All right, so.
Pleasure talking to you.
Barbara, glad to have you aboard. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind, and Barbara just left us. And wasn't she? Well, she was a delight.
She
never did find out how old her almost grandson was.
Never mind, he's here. That's the important thing.
And I hope they fix him up all right over at Cedars-Sinai Hospital. We'll be back in just a moment. Many of you have been down to the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles. You need any tiny little thing done, you have to take the week off because the lines are so long and everybody's having coffee when you're down there anyway, when you get there. Well, the DMV is working to change that whole thing and melt those lines away. And Tom will be speaking with some of the people of the Department of Motor Vehicles. It's a good chance for you to vent your spleen, as it were. But listen to the good news that they have for you and all of us in getting rid of so much of what goes on with the Department of Motor Vehicles. They have finally heard the message from the people, and they're doing something about it. Tom will be more than happy to check it in with you. Next week, I would like for you to join me, too, because Desi Arnaz Jr. will be my guest, along with Guy Finley, and we'll be continuing the discussion we started last October about the amazing worlds of the world of mental wellness and spiritual wellness found in metaphysics. It'll be a short course and a discourse in metaphysics, and if you'd like to find out more about it, join Desi, Guy Finley, and myself next week. We hope you'll be here. Dr. Peter Guy Manners is our guest tonight, and we have Marion on the line. Hello, Marion.
Yes, hello there. And I want to speak to you, Mr. Manners.
Well, Dr. Manners is right here, yes.
Oh, okay. Welcome aboard America here.
Thank you very much.
I'm a long-time diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering now, is this also for insulin diabetics?
Yes, but more so than cymatics would be a diet reform for yourself. A corrected diet and a balanced diet can bring that back into alignment almost quicker than anything. But not a diet that you work out for yourself. It would have to be a medically approved diet. There'd be certain things that you have to have. We have found that And now it's gone to the extent of even setting up clinics to do this, in which no medication is used whatsoever, but only using various combinations of, we say, vegetables or fruits. We found that if you take one particular fruit or vegetable and you extract the juice and put it with another one, you create a product which has no relation to either of those two. It creates another one. And we found this is extremely beneficial medically. And where you have psoriatic conditions, that is what you have, where you have psoriatic conditions and long-standing conditions, this works very, very well. Details of this particular diet can be sent to you and advice given how to use it and what to use. Again, if you write to me at the clinic, we can send you the necessary booklet on this, which will explain exactly how you can carry this out for yourself.
Yes, you know, and diabetes, it has a lot to do with certain glands.
That's correct. That's correct. Over and above that, of course, cymatics would help it because it would activate the glands themselves. Yes, that would be right. But you'd have to combine the two. You would have to do that, you see. How are you taking your insulin? By injection or
uh-huh.
by the mass?
Uh-huh.
Injections. And how many do you take? How much do you take?
One a day.
Oh, yes. Well, that's not too bad. Yes. In that case, then, you'd stand a fair chance of being able to clear that.
Well, that sounds good. And you say these places are right now, they're in Canada.
Yes, there's some in Canada, but we hope very soon to have one in Las Vegas and Nevada and Arizona.
Uh-huh.
All right,
Marin? Yeah. All right, does that help you?
Yeah. Oh, okay, well, thank you much.
Thank you very much. Good to have you aboard. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Virginia, you're here. You got a sleep problem?
Yes. Well,
music will always put you to sleep unless you're listening to KLOS.
some years ago, I had a nervous breakdown and was put on a lot of medication. I'm off everything now except 100 milligrams of Melaril, which I would also like to cease. It is, of course, a chemical, but if I don't take it, I don't sleep.
Right.
And I wondered if there's something...
Oh, yes, and you'd be much better off of it. But how long have you been taking it?
Some years.
Yes. Well, now, you'll have great difficulty in getting off of that because you've, this particular drug attunes the system. In other words, the natural process of sleep is non-functioning. It's only created artificially by the drug that you've been taking.
Yeah.
So, therefore, you'd have to come off of it very, very gradually. But if you consult a homeopathic physician or doctor, he will prescribe something for you in which you can gradually replace one with the other. If you haven't got a homeopathic physician, I understand that there is a homeopathic pharmacy in Los Angeles. So if you go to the pharmacy and ask for a prescription of Mimulus, I will spell it, M-I-M-L-U-S, Mimulus.
Do they have to have a doctor's prescription for that?
Yes, you'll need a doctor's prescription for this, but if you have your ordinary doctor, there is every possibility that he will give you that prescription so that you can take it to him. But if not, find a homeopathic physician, tell him your problem, and he will prescribe something for you.
Okay, and one other thing, I had an automobile accident Christmas Eve.
You're going to have to speak up, Virginia.
I said I was in an automobile accident Christmas Eve, and
yes.
I have been taking ultrasound treatments, which you seem to think are not the best idea.
What is your injuries?
They treat my back with the ultrasound instrument.
How many have you had?
About 10, I guess.
Well, I would say that's enough. You benefit much more from cymatics, of course. But what sort of pain are you getting in your back? Is it stiffness?
Back pain, and they also use heat treatments, you know, hot packs and towels.
Well, that's all right. Do you get massage as well?
Yes, massages with the ultrasound on the back.
Yes, well, it'd be much better if they gave you just... Or a normal massage. I mean, if you had a masseur or a masseuse.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
That would be much better than having any more of the ultrasound. I would suggest that, anyway.
Okay.
I thank you very much, and thank you both for a wonderful program.
Well, thank you very much, Virginia.
Well,
I hope
I've tried so many times to get through. This is my first chance.
Well, I'm glad you made it.
I know.
And, you know, and our time has just about run out. Peter, I'm so delighted that you made it with us tonight. All the way from England. You're going to be in town for a while?
Yes, we are.
All right. Is there anywhere anybody can see you? Or are you going to be speaking anywhere? Or are you just visiting our...
No, we're doing a television program.
Yeah.
All right. Pardon? Yes. If they contact... No, I don't know the address.
But
no, well...
But you're not making a public appearance.
No.
Our time is gone. I thank you for seeing us, and the next time you're in town, I want you right back. We'll see you next week with Desi Arnaz.
Listen.